So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 through 20. Says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We need to follow our Lord and Savior. We need to follow God with all of our heart. And the only way we do that is if our decisions reflect that thought process. So, questions to ask before we decide. Every day, we are faced with multiple decisions. Some of them may not be very important. Some of them are whether I'm going to eat breakfast this morning or what am I going to have for breakfast. Other questions that we other decisions we have to choose can be even more serious than that, can be very important, can be the matter of life or death, whether that's physical or spiritual. So when we look at these questions, keep that in mind that these are all predicated on a desire to please God. That's our whole intention. In Joshua chapter 24, there in verse 15, if you'll turn with me there. Joshua 24, 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see that a lot on spiritual keychains or signs. That the quote from Joshua is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a good lesson to live by. It's good words to live by. We have to choose to serve the Lord if we're going to make these good decisions in life. Sometimes we have a hard time deciding what to do in the specific situations that call for a clear decision. Sometimes we're, you know, should I do it? Should I not? Is that a fact? Or is that product of I'm unsure of what the consequences are? Or is that I know I shouldn't, but I want to? Which, you know, sometimes we just don't know. But if we should have a clear decision, we need to set that in our minds right now that we are going to do what God's will is. So consider these questions to ask yourselves. It'll help you decide, help you follow the will of God. Question number one. Can you ask God to bless your decision? God's blessings makes us rich beyond earthly treasure and removes our sorrows. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, that word rich there doesn't necessarily mean that we're wealthy with money. We are richly blessed. So, can we ask God to bless our decision? If I'm going to choose to do whatever it is that I'm about to do, when I'm done, can I ask God to bless it? Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14. Psalms 19 and 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Will your words and your heart be approved by God? Will it be in the right place at the right time? Will God bless the choice you made? Question number two. Can you thank God for it? If we have chose to miss a Lord's Day, for whatever reason that might be, if we've been tempted for the Super Bowl because it's at the same time as church and we decide to go to church or go to watch the game, maybe it's a once-in-a-lifetime we got tickets to actually be right there on the sidelines, and we choose to accept that. Can you thank God for that blessing, or what you would call a blessing? Because if you can thank God for doing something other than worshiping Him, you're asking Him to condone that decision, and that's not the case. We can't thank God for something that goes directly against His will. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So everything we do, we should not be afraid to thank God for it. Now, going to ball games is nothing against God's will if it doesn't interfere. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea there. But if it does interfere with your worship service and serving God, then absolutely, that's not a decision we need to make. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, if you'll turn with me there, it tells us to give everything, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we can ask God to, or we can give thanks to God for the thing that we have just decided to do, then that's a question we should ask. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Question number three. Is God glorified by it? Whatever I'm about to do or decide to do or a decision I'm going to make, is God going to be glorified by it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see here where Paul is writing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 31, Paul says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God." Everything we do should be to glorify God. Everything. Our actions, our words we choose, our thoughts should be to glorify God. So if we choose to do something that people question our faith, our loyalty to God, then that's a problem. That's not good for us. So can we ask, does this glorify God? If I do it, will it glorify God? We see in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul writes here, "They're filled with the fruits of righteousness by Christ to God's glory." Will we be filled? Will that be the result of what we've decided to do? Is God glorified? Question number four. Will your decision be a stumbling block to others or help them follow Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Elaborates on that. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." If If something we're about to do, even a freedom we have as we walk upon this earth, is not necessarily sinful, but if the actions cause a brother to stumble, then we should refrain from it. That's the example that we have here. Even in matters of liberty, the spiritual effect we have on others is so important. So important. Love gladly sacrifices personal liberties if it's going to cause someone sensitive to the word to stumble. So will your decision be a stumbling block to others? Ask yourself that before you decide. Warning against being a stumbling block, Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 10. There's a drastic remedy there. Matthew 18, there in verse 6. It says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into the life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, and be cast into the everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. The actions we do can be a stumbling block to others. It might be even inactions that we do could be a stumbling block to others. But we have to make decisions based on how it glorifies God, how it makes God look through us as we walk upon this earth, and ensure that we don't cause someone else to stray or to stumble and fall away. The latter part of that question, or does it help them follow Jesus? We look at Matthew chapter 5. You turn back just a few chapters there to Matthew chapter 5, and verse 13 and 14. It talks about being the salt of the earth and the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall we be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. When we think about eating a meal or tasting some kind of meat or food that kind of just has a bland taste to it, we add salt to it. We season it. Salt, pepper, things like that. That puts a better taste in our mouth. More pleasing to the palate. We are to be the salt of the earth. As we walk upon this earth, are we pleasing? Are we adding to it? Are we making it more palatable for God? Are we the light of the world? Are we standing on that hill, brightening everyone's day? When we walk, do we act and talk? Do people see Christ in us? Are we glowing? We should be the happiest people in the world. Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Such a wonderful blessing. Yes, we're going to have some negative things, but we are to be the light of the world. And where there's light, there can't be darkness. And if someone's in darkness, what do we normally do when the lights are out? We seek the light. When it's dark, we seek to find the light. We can't see in darkness, so we go for the light. We need to be that attraction. We need to have people trying to be attracted to us for Christ's sake. Honorable conduct will be light and salt to the earth. It will help convert the lost. It will help them follow Jesus. So ask yourself that question. Will your decision be a stumbling block to others or help them follow Jesus? Question number 5. Are you doing this to please God rather than others? What's your reason for choosing to do whatever it is you're going to do? In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, is it serving God? Are we serving God when we do whatever it is we're about to do? Lost my way there for a second. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Vitality equals strong and active. We should be vitally striving to serve the Lord. We should be doing whatever it is to please God rather than others. Ephesians 6:7 says, "With goodwill, well-minded, well-disposed, peaceable spirit." Is it controversial? Nope. It's a goodwill. It's with good intentions. It will please the Lord. It will make him happy. In Galatians 1:10, "Please the Lord first, not men." We say that multiple times. God first. I mentioned that this morning, is seeking God first, putting him first in your heart. That will help us. Help us draw closer to him. Question number 6. Have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? Now, my children are probably tired of me saying this, but I tell them multiple times, you need to stop and think, what will happen if I do this? Sometimes it's maybe using their little brother as a basketball or a, not a punching bag, so to speak, but a wrestling mat, or each other. And then somebody gets hurt in the roughhousing and playing. And I ask them, did you stop and think what would happen? And I know they didn't because they're children. But even as adults, sometimes we don't think about that because we don't think of it as a physical, that we're going to hurt someone physically, but we might be hurting someone spiritually. Have you thought ahead about the consequences? What's going to happen? We all know that God sees everything, but we, from time to time, justify our actions by saying no one else will know. Today they won't know, but they might know a year from now when someone decides to say that they saw something. You just never know, okay? So have you thought ahead? We see in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, that we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap what we sow. What if, while upon this earth, nobody brings up or mentions or even sees what we did that was against God's will? Are we still going to be punished for it? If we don't repent of it, sure, because God knows, and we'll have to answer for it. We will reap what we sow. In James chapter 4, if you'll turn over there, verses 4 through 6, talks about what happens when we befriend the world. James 4, verses 4 through 6. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says, 'In vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, 'God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble.'" Befriending the world brings us strife with God. We can't have it both ways. It brings pain, sorrow, spiritual and eternal death. Humility before God brings grace. Humble ourselves. Put God first. Ask yourself, is this the right decision to make? What are the consequences if I do it? Am I jeopardizing my soul's salvation by going on with this, or am I pleasing, glorifying God? Question number 7, my final question for you this afternoon. Would you want to be doing whatever you decide when Christ returns? Now, Brother Lucas had a lesson similar to this very question a few weeks ago. But I think it's a very important question. We never know when the end is coming. And to ask yourself, would you want to be doing whatever it is when Christ returns? We've probably all heard the comment said before that, you know, you may see something, some kind of clothes or something that you don't like, and we've heard the comment said, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing that. And it's used loosely, I believe, but it just shows that you don't like what it is, or you don't like the way it looks or the way it would fit you. And even if you didn't have to answer or go through the embarrassment of being seen in it, we make the comment, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing that, or I wouldn't be caught dead hanging around them, or we make that term. We've heard that term before. But can you say about that next decision you're about to make, whether it's to go out to the bar on the weekends or whatever, I wouldn't be caught doing that if Christ comes, because that's what's going to happen. Unfaithful servant is unprepared for Christ's return, and the only justifiable outcome is punishment when he returns. If we're caught in sin, we're going to be punished. We're going to be punished. You know, whatever it is you're about to do, would you do it in the presence of your earthly father? I hope my children have asked themselves that question a couple of times. I wouldn't do it in front of dad, so I'm not going to do it now. But would we do it in front of our Heavenly Father? Because he's always around. Always around. Would you want to be doing whatever it is you decide to do when Christ returns? Is my 7th and last question for you. The world will always try to make us halt and doubt our decisions. And if that's the case, that makes us lukewarm. And we read in Revelations that lukewarm is not pleasing to God. We have to be strong in the faith, not lukewarm in the faith. The Word of God must guide our decisions at all times, anywhere and everywhere, in anything and everything we do. Faith in God has to direct and determine our decisions everywhere. So as we conclude our lesson this morning, and as the new year rolls around in just a few short days, I wish everyone a happy and successful in the Lord new year, because that's where we need to strive. That's where our mind needs to be, is on God. If you're here this morning or this afternoon and you're in need of the prayers of the congregation, if something was said that has helped you realize that you have fallen away, we do offer the invitation to anyone right now that is in need of prayers, in need of obeying the gospel through primary obedience. Or if something you can take care of at your seat, don't be caught worshiping when the Lord comes and not be in the right sight with God. Don't let something stand between you and the Lord as you stand here and sing these songs. So please let us know while together we stand and sing.
Jesus saved, come unto me, I am the way, pardon the loving call, obey, come for me, love your soul. Only a step, only a step, come for me, bless. Same.
still prepared. If there's anyone that didn't have an opportunity this morning and would like to, please raise your hand. Don't believe I see any. Sure appreciate Travis' two lessons today. Appreciate them very much. The work that he puts into this. Glad that you're here. Great place to be on Sunday afternoon. The 492 will be our
both
verses of that. Any announcements that need to be made? Really glad that you're here. We'll stand and sing this song, and we'll ask Jeff, if you will, to dismiss us. Shall we stand? Travel to our different places of study.